It's 27 to 7 on Taking Care of Business on Rise FM. It's Zinga Sachira and Wandile Mazibugo. Now, the recent pandemic has forced many companies to restructure to survive. Now, this has led to a lot of people either losing their jobs or being offered a retrenchment package. Now, taking into consideration the current economic crisis and high unemployment, finding a job right now is highly unlikely. So, what does one do, or what do those who have been retrenched need to consider? Wandile, I think Lena Vele ifuna wena. So for those who have decided to go to a retrenchment package, what can they do in the current climate? Because it's not like before, but they need 2 to 3 months to find another job. Like, it's different.
Yeah, I know it is different. It is different, and I think you cite a very important reason why it's difficult for people to find jobs currently. You know, our economy is contracting. Our economy is shedding a lot of jobs as we speak. So, but I wanted to start thing is what is retrenchment, in the sense that, you know, retrenchment is obviously the company cannot continue. They don't see themselves being able to sustain themselves operationally. And for, you know, a lack of a better word, they're bankrupt. Okay, so it basically means they can't afford to pay your salary. And usually they would make then, you know, payments, you know, through three ways. You know, they give you what they would call a severance package, which is usually, you know, a week's pay of each and every single year that you've worked within the company itself. And then obviously if you've got any kind of leave days as well, they'll be able to obviously pay you for those particular leave days as well. And usually that amount of money is obviously, you know, not enough for you to be able to survive. If you had if you're lucky enough to work for a company, for instance, that had some kind of an investment plan, meaning that maybe you had a pension fund or a provident fund, then again there you'd have a choice whether you want to cash that out. You know, so if you decide, for instance, that you're cashing that out, and if you're cashing it out with your severance pay, then you've got some options. But your severance pay per se is not a lot of money, and it depends obviously on how many years you've worked for the company. So your options are really, really limited in terms of what you can do.
Yeah, so I think you've touched on this a bit, but what is the legislation surrounding retrenchment, like what they refer to as Section 189 notice? Yeah.
So a Section 189 notice would be a notice that the company then would issue and say, look, as a company, unfortunately, we cannot afford to keep our doors open.
Yeah.
So as a result of that, we're going to need then to obviously cut on costs. And one of the things of cutting on costs is then to retrench, you know, a few employees in order to keep this company in operation. So it would start firstly with a consultation meeting, you know, between the company and the employees. And obviously that consultation would start with them obviously indicating to the employees that we simply cannot afford to be able to stay open. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, the employees then would have their own inputs. And then obviously based on whatever operational requirements are there, they would make the decision and say they are retrenching a number of people from that particular institution. Now, where it becomes extremely difficult, Zingisa, is in a unionized environment.
Mm-hmm.
Where there are unions, then it obviously complicates the process. Or if the employees say, actually, we reject, and they can. In some instances where they say, look, we reject your offer, can you not look at other ways of actually saving money within the company without having to let go of the employees? And obviously the employees then would come back and say, we think you can cut on this, you can cut on that, without actually firing the employees. So that in a sense can happen in a situation.
The unions don't complicate things.
No, 100%. No. Maybe it was the bad choice of words, I agree. But thing I should say, In a process like that, then obviously the unions would fight and say, we don't feel that this is fair. Even the employees, when they're not unionized as well, as Inge said, they can also fight. We feel you guys are spending too much money maybe on traveling. We feel that you guys are spending a lot of money on advertising. You know, maybe you can cut down on advertising and make sure that we get our salary. So it's a consultation process, like I said. But once the parties agree, and obviously people then would get their retrenchment letters, and that legislation that governs that entire process is Section 189.
So obviously good retrenchment. Yes. So can one then claim from the UIF? No matter how you know your severance package,
yes, yeah, no, definitely. You know, in fact, like I said before, obviously the severance package that you get sometimes is not, you know, it's not enough. Mm. And provided also Zinga, so that you apply for that UIF payment within a 6 months period after you've been retrenched.
Yeah.
So obviously you need to then get all the requirements. Either you can visit the Department of Labour yourself. I think they call it the Department of Employment now, and you can approach them and then obviously complete those application forms. There's a whole process in terms of how you do that, and then obviously be able then, especially if your company was paying UIF on your behalf,
yeah,
at the time. I think that's important for people to understand that the company must have been deducting UIF from you and paying it over then to the Department of Labour.
If a company be deducted money UIF, go to the Department of Employment, you can still claim, but I launch again.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that's unscrupulous to be able to, mm, do that as a company. I think for me personally, my view is that, you know, there's an element of fraud there.
Of course.
Yeah, if the company is taking money from you but not paying it over then to the department, so or to paying it over for UIF, I think that's inexcusable that a company is able to do that. But we saw this. During COVID, where people were, the UIFs were being deducted, but these companies were not paying it over. And I think, again, it becomes a duty of you to report to that company to say, but these people are deducting this money and they're not paying it over to you.
And it makes it cool when they didn't know about the ending of the
book. Yeah, definitely.
It is Zinga Sachiro and Wandile Mazibuko taking care of business, discussing retrenchment, or should I say, what to do after being retrenched.
Counting the rands because it makes sense. Taking care of business on Rise FM.
Zinga Sachiro and Wandile Mazibuko with you, taking care of business on Rise FM, as we discuss retrenchment packages and what to do after receiving a retrenchment package, particularly at this current economic climate. Now, Wandile, you obviously said that it is possible for us to claim from EUIF. But for most of us, we do have either a provident fund or a retirement fund.
Mm.
How can you then, should I say, keep that intact for when you absolutely need it, or when you reach retirement, maybe utole a plan? Is it possible to hold off on cashing out your retirement or your provident fund?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you know, your retirement funds thing is are part of what we'd call Regulation 28. So really, when you leave a company or when you do get retrenched, you've got two options. Either you can withdraw that amount of money, and sometimes that seems like it's a popular thing among South Africans to withdraw money from their provident fund or their pension fund. The sad thing about that is that usually when they do get that money, unfortunately some do tend to misuse that money, and before you know it, the money is gone. The other alternative, which is the one that is more favored by your financial advisors, and again, I would say that you find yourself in a situation like that, you'd need to consult and you need to look at your own personal circumstances in order to make a determination. But you can then, if the company had their own pension fund, you can transfer that money to what we would call, for instance, a preservation fund.
Mm.
Okay? And that preservation fund, then they're able to keep it for you so that from withdrawing it. And then the day that maybe you find a job, then whatever job that you find, if they also have a pension fund, then you can transfer that money from that preservation fund then into that pension fund of that particular company. But this, I think, also quite important, I need to point this out. What you find is that with your benefits as well, there is a risk element. And when I speak about risk, I'm speaking about life cover, for instance, and maybe a funeral cover within, for instance, some of your benefits that you would have had at work. Now, most people, obviously, you know, you'd find yourself that you've been contributing to this particular group life cover at work, and now that you are retrenched, obviously, you don't have any money to be able to contribute, especially through the company, because they were doing the deduction for you. Some of these group life covers do allow you to get what they would call a continuation. you know, from the service provider, so that you yourself become responsible then for your payments, whether towards your funeral plan or towards your group life. Remember, some people could have been working for 5 years, 10 years, contributing to this group life or life cover and or funeral cover. So you've got that option. You need to ask, especially if you with your company, to find out if you can continue on your own to be able to service that, especially if you feel that it's extremely important for you to be able to cover yourself and your loved ones as well. So I just needed to mention that from a risk element. But in terms of the pension fund and the provident fund, you do have an option, if you'd opt not to withdraw, to transfer it then to a preservation fund, a sort of holding fund, before you actually then invest it maybe into your next employer's fund.
Yeah.
You also do have an option as well to be able then to take that money and obviously put it into a normal retirement fund that you would have, and possibly look at options on how you would be able to do that, especially when it comes to a pension fund. You put it in a retirement fund, maybe with some kind of annuity that it would give you should it happen that you reach your retirement age. So the options are there to be able to then decide what you need to do should you opt not to withdraw that money.
So in my preservation fund, or the choice of putting it in a different sort of retirement vehicle, implications.
I think, you know, you tax implications in terms of transferring, no tax implications there. If you're transferring it from one fund, one regulated fund, to another regulated fund, there aren't any tax implications that would come in. Where tax implications would come in, Ziggy says, if now you withdraw. You know, because now you're getting the benefit of that particular money. And and usually, you know, with regards to a severance payment, you know, together with maybe the proceeds, let's say, from your company's pension fund or provident fund, what happens is that it gets taxed then according to the retirement tax tables. And at the moment, you know, the first 500,000 is usually tax-free, provided that, for instance, you know, the reason for you actually getting that amount of money is due to obviously a formal retrenchment, and then obviously at the time of retrenchment you don't own at least 5%, of the capital within the company itself.
Yeah.
So then you do get that tax exemption of 500,000. Anything above 500,000 obviously then does tend to obviously hit your pocket. So the first 500,000 is tax free, and then the next 500,000, I think it starts from 18,000 depending on the amounts. So it's an entire tax table that is there, and then it goes up, I think, to about maybe 27% in the next bracket, you know, after you've left that. But it is a tax calculation that the tax does, especially when you do withdraw. And very important for people to also note is that, you know, some people you find good every time they move within a company, they withdraw.
By withdraw.
Remember that first 500,000 also takes into account even when you withdraw. So it's not good to they give you that 500,000, for instance, as in every time now you're in a new company and then you think you start to, they count the fact that you withdrew once upon a time 150,000. So those are the kind of things that you need to consider. And obviously, once you've withdrawn it, if you have it, they say tax you will go, because usually with most of these funds, they need to also get what they call a tax directive from the South African Revenue Service to say, as checkers, the Mundulo are always tax. And even no more OOI tax, sometimes what does happen is that obviously SARS, before they give you that money, takes the money.
So, leyo mali, cash out and go invest abroad. Is this a viable option? Is this wise?
I think, you know, Zingisa, to be quite honest, and to be honest to the listeners as well, any kind of financial decision that you make, you need to consult somebody that's an expert on it. Because it sounds nice when you say to people, invested abroad. Yeah, invested abroad. But also, you must understand that when you say invested abroad, you're investing it in funds. You're investing it in indexes for that matter. Now, you need somebody that's going to actively, that's educated enough to be actively looking at your particular investments as well. So I would suggest that if you're looking at those kind of options, it becomes extremely important to consult somebody who's a financial advisor, who's an expert on that. Because the fact that a person is a financial advisor, I think, is that does not necessarily mean that they're good with investments as well.
Okay.
So again, you need to get somebody who's an expert when it comes to funds, and preferably somebody who has got the requisite experience. And that person, and I need to emphasize this, every single time you see a financial advisor, the first thing that they need to do is give you a set of their qualifications,
yeah,
and a set of their experience, where they've worked, how they've worked, who they've worked with, and they need to put it in front of you for you to study and peruse before they give you any kind of financial advice.
And Mohlala also goes to talk to two or three people who sort of tell a more rounded
100%
perspective, instead of maybe someone linearly pushing agenda at some time. Not always, but I mean, it does happen.
And it's so true. And it's so true, Zings. I think it's a very important point that you raise, because what you do find is that some financial advisors are linked to product houses, for instance, and that person then might give you advice because they know that they're going to actually, you know, earn an income from that particular product house as well. So you as an individual, also it becomes important that you consult widely, and the person needs to also inform you in terms of how much money they're going to make if, for instance, you take a particular product from a particular product house. Ask those difficult questions. Ask the person, how much commission are you earning from this? And in fact, if they don't tell you themselves, you need to ask that question. Mm. But they are supposed to actually inform you beforehand and disclose that I've got a contract with this particular product house, with this particular company, and I'm getting this amount of commission if you invest here. So that you can see that the person then bagisangala ahola kona kakhulu ugisangale ngoba yena ibenefita. Yeah. So balekile ukuthi we financial advisor be honest with you when they're giving you this kind of advice as well.
It's 10 to 7 on Taking Care of Business on Rise FM, as we discuss what to do after receiving your retrenchment package. And for those of you who have questions for us, you can send them to us via our WhatsApp line, which is 072-885-7702. That's 072-885-7702. Now, Wandile, we've been talking about this for a long time. For those people, Lebanese side hustle or an alternative stream of income, the primary job, would it then be wise to plow the retrenchment package or the severance package into now what is this alternative stream of income, maybe meaning it's and then start focusing on that.
Yeah.
And also just secondary to that, should I just use the severance package money on pins and keep an ally a provident now invest a good business?
I mean, a side hustle is characterized by a passion, because it's what you're passionate about. And if you're driven by passion, then I think you're obviously on the right road in terms of being able to be successful. I think it becomes important that in any business, that you are able to be disciplined and you are able to lead yourself as well as the person. And obviously be practical. And when I talk about leadership, I'm saying practical about the circumstances that you find yourself in. Because this is a passion that you're looking at as a side hustle, you need to be realistic whether this is something that can possibly give you returns in the future. So if it can give you returns in the future, you need to then understand what is the investment that you're putting in now in order for it to get the benefits. Because, you know, it's very nice, and while you've got this money now, you're like, I'm just going to put money into it and make sure that it works. No, you need to be very disciplined. Running a business, especially if you come from employment, it's different.
Yeah.
You know, I unfortunately made a transition like that as well. And what I found is that it's very difficult for you to downscale, because when you're running a business, now it's your own money. Hey? You become responsible for your own paycheck. Whereas you don't have to wait at the end of the month and that paycheck is guaranteed. In your own business, it's reliant on you actually working hard. So that's why I mentioned the issue of leadership. That's why I mentioned the issue of discipline as well, that you need to be disciplined with those things. And also very realistic in terms of, if I'm putting in 100 rand now, will it yield 150 in 6 months' time? and how do I get to that 150 in 6 months' time? Because everybody thinks if you put money in a business, the business will automatically do well. And sometimes it's not the case. So I would say that if you're looking at those kind of decisions, it becomes important then that you become practical.
Because we are talking about finances and retirement and retrenchment, I think let's deviate a little bit. We just received a question here. I think this gentleman, if I'm not mistaken, asked, if I resigned at a company in May, can I go claim from the UIF? So this particular person resigned and was not retrenched. So can they still claim from the UIF?
Yeah, resignations become extremely difficult in a sense that you voluntarily, for instance, left the company. So you're not necessarily retrenched at the time. What I do know, for instance, is that if you've voluntarily resigned, it becomes difficult for you then to be able to claim an unemployment from the unemployment insurance fund. You must have been retrenched. And obviously if you're fired as well, it becomes sometimes a bit difficult for you to think. So you have to have gone through a retrenchment process in order for you to claim that particular UIF.
It is Zingisa Chiro and Wandile Mazibuko taking care of business on Rise FM. We have another question for you, Wandile, obviously revolving around the current topic. So maybe let's just take a quick listen.
Okay.
Hi, guys. I just want to find out, great topic, by the way. I just want to find out, and I don't know if you've touched on it, but the mutual separation, how does it differ go retirement? Do you get I'm a severance pay work or like kwenzakalani? Because in most companies like sebenza tuzani now, they do mutual separation. But I didn't want to go. But that is how it's done, mutual separation. What is this mutual separation? Is it even legal?
Yeah, a very interesting question in terms of that as well. But I would imagine that the listeners is referring to, sort of like a voluntary kind of retrenchment in terms of that as well. And in a case like that, I mean, it's still a retrenchment process because the company is basically saying to you guys they're unable to be able to carry on as a company. So what a mutual separation, for instance, is just basically a written contract that sets out the terms of an employee's separation of employment. So a separation agreement will basically include a release of claims against the company by that particular employee. So it's an agreement between the two of them to say, so that particular mutual separation is different from your normal retrenchment process in a sense that you've agreed to say we feel that we can't carry on. So that particular one is governed by the Labour Relations Act, and basically it's often a very cost effective way, and it's usually used when an employee maybe is facing a disciplinary hearing. For that matter. And then they say, you know what, instead of us spending a lot of money going through that particular disciplinary hearing, let's maybe have a mutual separation agreement, which is then to say that you set out the terms and conditions, should anything happen. And obviously, both parties in most circumstances are usually happy with their mutual separation. So again, I want to emphasize that it's different from a retrenchment process in that matter. So you guys have decided. We're going our separate ways.
But in terms of that, it's not like bangak for Stella. You can't sign a mutual separation under duress, right?
No.
It still has to be some sort of an agreement.
Yeah, ufuna uvume wena. Yabona ukuthi uyavuma la ma terms and conditions.
Ndawthola 1 rand bese ngiyahamba.
Bese ngiyahamba, yeah. Ufuna uvume wena ukuthi siyavumelana ukuthi thini sakhona ukuthi sisilona
sisebenzisana.
And I think what Sis is asking is very, very important because sometimes what happens is that people become confused with these things. And sometimes HR or the HR of the company, I'm not saying all of them, they don't explain these things properly to people. And unfortunately, then they find themselves in a worse of situation. So in any kind of agreement that the employer gives you, I think it becomes important that maybe you get somebody who is a legal expert to be able to have a look at those particular mutual separation agreements. Because for me, I suspect that a lot of people, when they do sign them, they don't understand exactly what they're signing, especially because of that legal jargon that comes with it as well. Of course. Oh. Then you can call the union rep then in that particular case, you know, especially if the person is somebody who's engaged. I think a very, very important question that she's asking. But a mutual separation, both parties agree with the asakonic 70 sana, says Yapuma Yalo, Yapuma Meningale, and the next in Kichimisa, Negi CCMA, Yafuma, what's it? Sifuanegam Nans, and it's best baby sang in Tanzan. In a relationship, but as long as I'm not in that working relationship.
So, umamundo atala guvenga longi mutual separation uskatlega sheyin abone ugusbamsaini sa under duress. Indolonga ikichimisa le.
Definitely, I mean, any contract that you would sign under duress, then you've got grounds to be able to dispute that particular contract, especially if you've got a very good legal advisor to be able to take you through those contracts as well.
Just the last one. Can I say no to mutual separation? Do I, as the employee, have the right to say no to mutual separation?
Definitely, Sissy, you definitely have the right to be able to say no to mutual separation. Remember, this is a voluntary process that you're taking, so you can say no. What's mean? I don't agree with these terms. I don't agree with this. And look at other avenues to be able to chase that as well. You are not obliged to sign a mutual separation agreement. It is your choice and the employee and employer's choice as well to be able to do those things. Look, it's a meeting of minds. Friend for Milan. And uma wena ungavumi, then it can never be a mutual separation agreement.
I see Vali Wandile's card says hambili. Are there any other benefits? Because sometimes the job is called mutual separation. So are there any benefits or assistance available to those who have been retrenched that they need to be aware of? Maybe something that we haven't mentioned.
I think in the strictest sense of the word, I mean, if you look at it now in terms of where the economy is now, you know, either than some of the relief packages that they've taken out as a result of COVID, usually your biggest relief would come from the UIF, especially if you're contributing to be able towards that. And what I would say is if you find yourself in a situation where you've been retrenched, again, there I would say about retrenched, the degree things. I think it's important that you inform whoever you owe and discuss some kind of terms, because ultimately so I think that also becomes extremely important. So I think like Kinyilendo ungazobalekela ma private calls, ungazobalekela ma phone. I think go to the bank, go to whoever you owe and say to them, listen, I've lost my job. Can we have another agreement that we can look at in terms of me repaying you? Because I'm sana yule my labing my before.
We checking in my contract. Gambe yin lea insurance. Let's ngayati.
Le credit life. Check your credit life as well. Especially in these times of the pandemic, check if you are covered for lauma contracts now in a case where we're born during the pandemic. Because you might find kuthi dokona kuthi isibhatale isikweletu sakho.
Ayi, asishiye lapho.